This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back again for another 60 minutes or so old-time radio. And because it's October, we've got some special programming all this month. Each episode will begin with this episode of Suspense, written by Lucille Fletcher, whose name you may remember from episodes like Sorry, Wrong Number and The Hitchhiker. Well, she did quite a few episodes of Suspense. We'll start off today with one titled The Thing in the Window from December 19th, 1946. Then after a quick Incredible But True, it's the other portion of our special programming. We'll be hearing a Halloween-themed show from a non-horror series. In this case, it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, an episode titled The House of Mystery, first aired December 10th, 1949. But first, here's The Thing in the Window.
Yes, Roma wines taste better because only Roma selects from the world's greatest wine reserves for your pleasure. And now, Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, Roma Wines present Suspense. Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Joseph Cotton in The Thing in the Window, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear. Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those better-tasting California wines enjoyed by more Americans than any other wine. For friendly entertaining, for delightful dining. Tonight in our Suspense Theater, we bring you the premiere of the newest suspense play written by Lucille Fletcher, the author of such distinguished radio dramas as Sorry, Wrong Number and others. But before we ring up the curtain on tonight's play and on the performance of our star, Joseph Cotton, let me make a suggestion. Why battle last-minute Christmas crowds downtown when the perfect gift is as close as your nearest wine merchant? Give magnificent Grand Estate wines, favored by discriminating wine users everywhere. From a single assorted case of Grand Estate wines, you can make several distinctive gifts and provide Grand Estate wines for your own holiday dining and entertaining, too. To give or serve, America offers no finer wines than Grand Estate. For Grand Estate wines presented by Roma, America's greatest vintner, are limited bottlings born of choicest grapes, then slowly guided to rich taste luxury by ancient Roma skill and America's finest winemaking resources. This Christmas, for good giving, for good living, offer all five Grand Estate California wines. When entertaining, serve medium sherry, ruby port, or golden muscatel. For gracious dining, burgundy or sauterne. Say your Merry Christmas smartly with Grand Estate wines, the crowning achievement of vintner skill. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant as Roma wines bring you
Mr. Joseph Cotton as Martin Ames in The Thing in the Window, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Mary?
Yes, Mr. Ames?
Turn that vacuum cleaner off for a minute, will you? And come over here, I want to show you something.
Yes, sir.
Right here, out this window. Now look across the street. No, directly across, uh-huh. The opposite apartment. See that window? About three windows in from the left, with a kind of blue draperies.
Uh-huh.
There's someone sitting there in a chair. He hasn't moved all night. I think he must be dead.
Dead? Lord of mercy, Mr. Ames.
Take a good look at him and tell me what you think, Mary.
Okay, but I don't favor looking at a corpse, Mr. Ames. It's unlucky. Now, which window did you say? Third one over.
Hmm.
Oh, I wish I had me glasses
with
me.
Oh, there, right there, where my finger's pointing.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't see it yet, Mr. Ames.
Oh, look, the window with the blue draperies. He's wearing a sort of a gray suit. The arm, Can't you see the arm hanging down over the side of the chair?
No, sir. But you've got good eyes, Mr. Ames. If you see it, I'm not arguing with you. What are you going to do about it?
I don't know. I just began to notice it last night. I guess I first have to be sure the man is really dead.
That's right, Mr. Ames. You don't want to get yourself into any trouble. Maybe he's only sleeping, or maybe he's incapacitated. Maybe the poor soul's a stricken invalid, huh?
Maybe. Hello, I'm Martin Ames. Are you the superintendent of this apartment house?
That's what it says on the door.
I've come to inquire about one of your tenants.
What is it you want to know?
I live across the street and, well, I'll be frank with you, sir. I've been looking out of my window across to this building now for 2.5 days and there seems to be someone dead in one of the windows.
Which window?
It's the 10th floor. I've counted up from the street and it's 10 stories up. There's a window with blue draperies about 3 windows in from the left, facing toward me, that is, and there's a man sitting there, slumped down in a chair.
Just a minute. I'll get out my chart. 10th floor up from the street, huh? Well, it's really the 9th floor. The lobby counts 1. We got 2 apartments along the front of the house. It's in the front, yeah?
That's right.
Now, 3 windows in from the left, that'd be 9B, a 4-room. Oh, that couldn't be right. 9B is 2 ladies. You say this is a man?
Yes, the face isn't clearly visible. The head slumped forward. But he's wearing a gray suit and he's sitting in a high wingback chair.
I don't place him.
Well, maybe he doesn't belong in the house. Maybe he was visiting somebody. As I say, this is all conjecture, of course. He may not be dead, but I've watched him a good deal. I'm home a lot in the daytime. My profession, the stage, doesn't take up too much of my time. And, well, it looks mighty suspicious.
Okay, I'll check on it.
Mind if I stick around?
Oh, no. Sit down. I'll give 9B a ring first on the house phone.
Hello?
Oh, Miss Landis?
Yes, this is Miss Landis. Who is this?
Oh, this is Mr. Anson, the super. Everything all right up there, Miss Landis?
Everything all right? Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Okay, Miss Landis. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's that. No soap on 9B. 9A is in the country. Well, anyway, if I got the window straight, like you said, it ought to be 9B.
The 2 single ladies?
Yeah, only it couldn't be them. They're real old maids. They've been living in the house for years. Real old-fashioned type, you know. Say, if they knew you thought there was a man in that apartment, oh, the 2 of them would just about jump out of their skins. Oh.
Well, I don't know what to say. If you're sure it must be that apartment.
Oh, yeah, that's a place, all right. But you probably just made a little mistake. You know how your eyes can play tricks on you? After all, it is a pretty wide street.
I don't think I made any mistake.
Anson speaking.
Hello, Mr. Anson. This is Mr. Ames.
Again? It's not there.
But, Mr. Anson...
I checked up on the 2 apartments this morning. 9A is back from the country. Everybody's okay. And 9B is out walking the dog. No dead bodies in the whole place.
But I can see it. It's still there.
Okay, just where? Will you just tell me where?
In the same window. The one you said was 9B. Have you gone inside 9B?
No, but I asked them if anybody was sick or dead, and they said no.
You asked them? Well, why don't you search that apartment?
What do you mean? Break in while they're out?
No, search it while they're there. Ring the bell, walk in, and do it.
Yeah, not without a search warrant from the police. These apartments, you know, don't belong to me. I just take care of the building for the company.
Then let's call the police.
Oh, not me, mister. I didn't see no dead body up there.
Then I will. After all, somebody's got to do something.
I still maintain, officer, these 2 sisters are as refined ladies as you could find anywhere. High class, nice, church-going ladies. They used to teach school up here at PS 33.
Well, that don't mean a thing.
As it happens, there's a play on Broadway right now in which 2 nice old ladies commit murder after murder.
And they got a dog in there. Now, will you tell me 1 dog that would stay for almost a week in a flat with a dead person?
I'm not telling you anything. All I know, this gentleman, Mr. Ames here, reported a stiff over here. And if he says there is one, there is. Until it's proved different. Right, Mr. Ames?
Well, I keep seeing the thing day in and day out. I'm not working at the moment, and being home so much.
None of the other neighbors have complained. Dead bodies ain't exactly... Oh. It's right this way, please. I hope they're home.
If they ain't home, you got a pass key, haven't you?
Well, yeah, we're not supposed to use it, though, unless for an emergency.
This is an emergency. Does a dog bite?
Sometimes.
Yes? Who is it?
I'm awfully sorry, Miss Landis, but there's been some kind of mix-up. These two gentlemen want to look over your apartment.
But why? It's not for rent.
Oh, I know. It's just, they want to search around and check up.
Come on. Cut out the palaver. Hey, look, lady. A dead body's been reported sitting in one of your windows.
What?
Yeah. This guy lives across the street, and he's been seeing it over here for a week.
Now,
open up.
A dead body? Oh, but that's impossible. My sister and I live here all alone.
Yeah. We know all about it.
Excuse me a minute. I'll call my sister.
Come on. Hey, look, lady, I'm not standing out here all day. Come on, give me the passkey, Anson.
It won't do no good. They got a chain on the door from the inside.
Open up in the name of the law.
How do you do? I am Vivian Landis. May I ask what this is all about, please?
Certainly, lady. I got a search warrant here made out by this gentleman to search your place. He says you got a dead body in there.
A dead body? Why, that's perfectly ridiculous.
Yeah, isn't it? But it's been reported. And kindly take that door off the chain and let us through.
Of course. First, may I ask, how did this peeping Tom see into our apartment? I thought, Mr. Anson, that we were quite private.
Well, you see... he lives across the street on the same level.
I just happened to be...
Oh, well, then we shall have to keep our shades down in the future. Although one would think a grown man would have something better to do... Do come right in, gentlemen. Make yourselves right at home.
Thanks.
Is he coming in here too, Mr. Busybody?
No, he doesn't have to if you don't want him.
Well, I most definitely don't.
Okay, Mr. Ames, you better stay outside.
Officer, I will...
Oh, he does want to poke around in our private rooms, is that it? Maybe he had some ulterior motive in worming his way in. Maybe he's come to get the lay of the land and so he can break in someday to rob us.
Okay, he's not coming in. Now, let's take a look at your window.
Okay.
Hey.
Yes, officer.
Now, what's the big idea?
You didn't find it?
No.
That's very strange.
Yeah? The only thing strange about it's your eyesight. You want to get your glasses changed.
There wasn't anything in 9B?
No.
I don't understand it. How could I have seen it so distinctly and it's not there? But perhaps it isn't in the window now. Perhaps they hid it while we were waiting outside the door.
Hid it? Hmm. Now, where do you hide a dead body in a four-room flat? I looked in all the clothes closets, under the sofas, in the chairs.
Perhaps they got it out at the back, into the service elevator.
Single-handed? With all the garbage cans and laundry going up and down?
Perhaps they had accomplices, Pratt. Oh, you probably think... Oh, it's so terrible to keep seeing it and feeling it slowly decaying there in secret. Why, the thing could be there for weeks. It's so high above the streets. Perhaps it'll never be found, but perhaps it's already being destroyed.
Well, then, if it's gone, what do you got to worry about? You don't have to sit and look at it no more.
No, I hope it is. I tell you, it's really getting me down. I haven't slept for nights keeping vigil. I'm in a nervous state. I haven't been this nervous in years.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, look. Why don't you try forgetting it for a while, huh? Try not to look over into that window. Or go away for a change. You've done what you could, Mr. Ames. If there is a stiff over there, well, that's my business, ain't it? And if there isn't...
You mean you think I may be...
I'm not saying nothing, Mr. Ames. But if I was you, I'd try catching up on my night's sleep.
Miss Landis, I'm sorry to disturb you at this time of night, but I really... I'm desperate. I haven't anywhere else to turn.
What? Who is this?
This is Mr. Ames, Martin Ames, your neighbor, the one across the street. I was in your apartment yesterday morning with the police, or... Rather, I was almost in your apartment. Your sister wouldn't let me in.
Oh!
Now, please don't think me a pest, Miss Landis. I don't mean to annoy you. It was only because I was so desperate that I initiated that search.
It's quite all right. goodbye.
No, please don't hang up, because it's worse now than it ever was. Miss Landis, I've been sitting here opposite your apartment, staring into your windows, and I'm only asking you to help me, Miss Landis. Help me, just a little.
Help you?
It's still there, Miss Landis.
What is still there?
The dead body in your window.
Oh, but there isn't. How dare you? When the police...
I know. I know now it hasn't anything to do with you. But would you do me just one favor, Miss Landis? Would you go into your living room and just check once more?
Oh, I won't. I'll do nothing of the kind. You're out of your mind.
Well, perhaps
no.
I am, Miss Landis. That's what I'm trying to find out. Then perhaps your sister Vivian would help me.
She's not at home.
Oh, Lord.
And anyway, I don't see how you can see in. I pulled the shades down in there yesterday morning.
I know. They're all down still.
Well, then how can you see?
I can't. At least not the actual body. It's just the silhouette. I'm not maligning you or your sister, Miss Landis. If there's someone dead in there, it's not you who are doing it. But think of me.
Oh.
If you could just be here and look over there and see the shadow of those quiet fingers, that shoulder, that head.
Oh, please! Stop it! Stop it! It's not here! It isn't!
Tell me just one thing, Miss Landis. There is a chair by that window, though, isn't there?
Yes. There's a chair.
A high-backed wing chair.
Mm-hmm.
And have you anything on it? Anything piled up? I mean, like curtains or cushions or dressmaker's dummy or...
Of course not.
Or do you have a plant in the window in front of it? Some kind of a odd table? Anything? Anything that would cast a shadow like a man's head slumped forward or an arm hanging limp?
No. It's nothing. Nothing but the chair.
Then would you do me just one more favor, Miss Landis? Please, please, and as an experiment, would you just go into the living room and move that chair from the window, please?
If I do it, will you stop pestering us?
Yes.
Will you let us alone forever?
Yes, if it works.
If it works? What do you mean?
I can't tell, Miss Landis, until you move the chair. Yes.
I moved it away from the window. It's at the other end of the room, and there's nothing in it. It's empty.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks very much, Miss Landis. I know what I have to do now.
You mean...
Yes, Miss Landis. It's still there. Landis.
Where is it? I want to see it at once.
Oh, yes, Miss Landis, come in. I hope you'll excuse my appearance. I've just passed another sleepless night.
So has my sister, and so have I. What do you mean by all this business, Mr. Ames? You have frightened my poor sister nearly to death. Seeing things that aren't there when you know that they're not.
I know they're not. Oh, I wish there weren't. I wish to heaven I'd never looked out that window. I wish those walls were solid stone and your walls... Oh.
You are a sick man, Mr. Ames.
Oh, am I? I wish I were, but I'm perfectly sane and well. I went to a psychiatrist yesterday, and guess what he told me? That there's nothing wrong with me, nothing.
I can't believe that.
Well, to you, I suppose it's a form of madness to persist in seeing this hideous image. But not to me, Miss Landis. No. I finally come to an entirely different conclusion.
And what is that?
The supernatural.
The supernatural? A ghost? What nonsense, Mr. Ames.
Yes, I suppose it is nonsense to you. You've been a school teacher.
Yes.
You believe in logic and common sense, the things that give a pretense of solidity to this frail little life of ours. But I'm an artist. I've always had a feeling for the thing beyond, the intangible, the shadowy. We're children, Miss Landis, children playing along the edge of the ocean. We'd laugh and toy with the waves and mock fright. But sometime one of us slips down into the darkness. Sometimes the depths rise and we glimpse the yawning fangs of the eternal.
Well, you put things rather oddly, Mr. Ames. Just exactly what do you mean?
Simply this. I checked on that building with the real estate agents yesterday afternoon after I'd left my psychiatrist. And there was a murder.
In our apartment?
Well, the report didn't say. You know how they try to hush those things up. But it was a man, a young man. The lover of one of the tenants, a Miss Sweetser.
Sweetser?
Hmm.
Why, that's the name of the people who lived there before us.
Oh.
They were an elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. Sweetser. I never saw any Miss Sweetser.
She died. She was the daughter. She killed herself afterwards by jumping out one of the windows.
Oh, perfectly awful.
It's rather a ghastly coincidence, isn't it?
Was it out our window?
Who knows? She must have been a very neurotic person, though, this Miss Sweetser. Half-crazed, almost with love or jealousy. I checked on the details in an old newspaper.
Oh.
She cut his throat, nearly decapitated him.
Oh, good mercy.
And it said that when they lifted his body out of the chair later, his head almost rolled.
Excuse me. Mr. Ames, I'd rather not hear. I still can't believe if there is something, if there could possibly be something, why haven't we seen it too? Why should you
be... Haven't you seen it, Miss Landis?
No.
You sure? Never? Perhaps in the middle of the night, getting up and passing that room, seeing that chair outlined against the window, just in passing, perhaps? You've never had a glimpse?
No. I really must be going.
No. Please stay and look at it. I want you to see it out of my window.
My sister, Elaine, she's very nervous, Mr. Ames. I can't leave her so long alone.
Then how will I know? How?
Well,
Miss Landis, I thought you came here especially. It'll only take a minute. It's right in here in the bedroom. I just have to let up the Venetian blind. Oh, Miss Landis! Don't go! Miss Landis. Hello. Oh, hello, Sergeant. This is Ames, Martin Ames. I just called to let you know. I think you're right about that good night's sleep. Yes, I'm going away tomorrow for a long rest, shutting up my apartment. Yes, I'm all tied up in knots. I don't know what to think. Oh, they did. Yes, I saw the moving van in front of the house, but I didn't know it was those sisters. Couldn't take it, huh? Well, I can't take it much longer myself.
Whoa, Marty. Bravo, bravissimo, boy.
Not so loud.
Why, all the mystery. The
superintendent, he doesn't like me.
I should think he wouldn't like you grabbing this beautiful apartment right from under his nose. He probably had it promised to a friend.
But you've got it now, Ronald, just as I said.
Oh, so I have, old boy, so I have. And it's beautiful. You know I'm crazy about it. Marty, you've outdone yourself. You've been more than just...
Oh, think nothing of it, Ronald. I'm glad to do it for such a distinguished colleague.
Well, it certainly was nice of you. And I wish I could do something in return, Marty. I really do.
Oh, no.
Perhaps that play I'm doing next season. You know, there's a part in it. Rather small part, but very necessary.
Oh, thanks, just the same. But I'm doing pretty well just now, Ronald.
And I don't know how you found it, Marty. In this housing shortage.
Oh,
why even the superintendent didn't know it was for rent? When your call came to my manager, I left rehearsal. I wouldn't trust it to anyone but myself. I left the whole cast just standing there when I came over. And when I asked this gloomy character, Anson, he said he'd heard nothing about it. I insisted, of course. I told him who I was. Finally, he called up. Sure enough, it seems these two sisters who lived here just decided to move out.
Really? Well, say, I hope you didn't mention my name, though, if Anson known it, I'd tipped you off.
Oh, no. You asked me not to. Anyway, I think my own name is enough.
Oh.
Seriously, Marty, how did you know? Were they friends of yours?
Oh, no. It's a rather long story. Here, let's sit down, shall we, in the living room. Oh, no. You take the chair. Guess they must have left that when they moved out.
No, thank you.
Well, to be frank, Ronald, I got this apartment by a ruse.
A ruse, Marty? What kind of ruse?
Oh, pretty nasty one. I frightened the last tenants away. I told them I saw a dead man sitting here in this window.
No, not really. How clever of you. Of course there was.
Oh, no. You see, I live across the street, directly across, in that apartment there with the striped curtain.
Oh?
One night, just sitting there late, I got an amusing thought. There was a kind of shadow across this chair, the one there that you're sitting in. It reminded me a little bit of a corpse. And it came to me that it might be fun to create a great part, a character, a corpse that wasn't there.
Well, I don't follow you. Quite.
Some actors need a play, Ronald, to create a role. Others, the great ones, work out their own dramas. I proceeded to invent a part for myself. I was the eyewitness, the innocent bystander across the street who saw a corpse in here. And I kept seeing it and kept seeing it. And finally, by the power of suggestion, it became real enough to frighten them away.
Very clever. Wasn't it rather drastic?
I'd always hoped we'd be neighbors, Ronald. As a matter of fact, the whole idea for this thing came to me that day in October when you turned me down for that part outside of Sardi's. Remember? You said you were looking for a place then.
Did I?
Oh, yes. It was then I thought how nice it would be to see you right across the street sitting in this window. I simply had to bring it about.
Well, I...
No, Ronald. Don't get up yet. I'm not through.
Really, oh boy, I'm afraid the gang at the theater, you know, they don't even know that I'm here.
They'll wait. People always wait for you, don't they, Ronald? I could call them for you, of course, but the phone's been disconnected.
Well, I'm afraid that I'm... which way's the door, oh boy? Now, really, Marty, it's been very kind
What's
of
the
you
matter? Don't you like the apartment, Ronald? Aren't you going to take it after all my work?
Oh, yes, yes, I like it very much. The door's locked.
Yes, Ronald. I'm afraid you'll have to find your way out alone. There. That'll keep you quiet. Silence always became you better than all that ratting and glibness and charm, Ronald. And now I've got the part for you. A part to end all parts. You play it entirely in a chair. It isn't much action, not a line to say. You just sit, Ronald. You sit in this chair by the window. Yeah. It'll be the greatest performance of your career. You liked to hog all the fattest roles for yourself, didn't you? Well, this is a part that's been talked about up and down the street for weeks. You'll play the part of a ghost, a corpse that never was, a hallucination in my brain. And who'll be your audience? I will. I, the insignificant, outmoded ham who wasn't fit to appear in your precious plays, but good enough to put you here, Ronald. Who's the better actor now, Ronald? Goodbye, Ronald. See you across the street.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, Roma, America's favorite wine. And now this is Ken Niles with a curtain call for the star of tonight's play, that perennial suspense favorite, Joseph Cotten. Joe, tonight marks your seventh appearance on Suspense in less than 3 years, making you our all-time champion guest.
No Cotten shortage on suspense, Ken.
And no shortage of suspense when Cotten's on hand either. In appreciation of those seven stellar performances, here's a Christmas present for you, Joe. Please accept this gift basket of Grand Estate wines from your host, Roma, America's greatest vintner.
Thank you, Ken.
And you're an outstanding host this Christmas when you serve these magnificent Grand Estate wines. For Grand Estate wines reflect the host's desire to offer only the finest. Grand estate wines delight the most discriminating guests, whatever the occasion.
I'll remember that, Ken.
And don't forget, grand estate wines make ideal gifts. Friendly, thoughtful gifts in perfect taste. Yes, for gift or guest, America offers no finer wines than distinguished grand estate wines. For the holidays, keep on hand all five Grand Estate California wines. When entertaining, serve medium sherry, ruby port, or golden muscatel. For gracious dining, burgundy or sauterne. Each limited bottling of Grand Estate wine, carefully selected by Roma, is a wine outstanding in rare taste pleasure. So this Christmas, give or serve the finest Grand Estate wine. The crowning achievement of vintner skill.
Well put, Ken, but I must know one more thing. What about next Thursday's show?
Well, it's a double threat show, with the honors going to two distinguished ladies. It's called Philomel Cottage. The author is England's number one feminine mistress of the art of suspense, Agatha Christie. And our star will be the most provocative European leading lady to visit our shores in many a moon, Miss Lily Palmer.
Well, I've never missed a suspense show yet, and certainly next week sounds even more intriguing than usual. Good night.
Good night, Joe. We're all looking forward to seeing you and David O. Selznick's production, Duel in the Sun.
Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Miss Lily Palmer as star of Suspense.
Produced and directed by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. Stay tuned for the thrilling adventures of the FBI in Peace and War, following immediately over most of these stations.
Literally millions of human beings have known the sensation of leaving their native Earth and soaring above the clouds. And still, there are many for whom flight still holds a sense of mystery and wonder. That feeling is not wholly groundless is evidenced, perhaps, by the strange experience of Lieutenant Morand.
Even as far back as 1923, there were those who realized that if war should ever come again, its outcome would be, in a large part, determined by air power. And so, in France, as in other nations of Europe, men were being rigorously trained in the techniques of flying, strafing, and bombing. Second Lieutenant Morand was a member of the embryonic French Air Force. And on the afternoon of September 22nd, he went aloft to engage in shooting practice over a field near Gadeau. In front of him, in the pilot seat, was Sergeant Jean Daubert.
When I give you the signal, Sergeant, begin your dive. All right, now. Not bad, sir. Not good, either. Let's go back at right again.
The plane circled the field, once again approached the target.
All right, Sergeant. Bravo, sir. You did it that time. You must have... Lieutenant, what is the matter?
The sergeant stared at the man behind him in amazement. Lieutenant Morand had slumped back in his seat. His eyes were closed, and his face was distorted with pain.
What is the trouble, Lieutenant?
At that moment, the lieutenant fell forward, face down. And it was then that the sergeant saw the great red splotch spreading across his shoulders.
Mon Dieu! He's been shot!
Sergeant Daubert landed the plane as quickly as possible. And while the lieutenant was being lifted carefully from the cockpit and transferred to a waiting ambulance, he made his report to his commanding officer.
We were a couple of hundred feet up, and there weren't any other planes in the air and nobody on the ground beneath us. It must have been his own machine gun that did it. One of the bullets ricocheted somehow off the ground or the target. It bounced back and hit him between the shoulders. I know it sounds crazy, but it could not...
And so that was the explanation that was officially accepted, at least for a few hours. But later that afternoon, Sergeant Daubert dropped around to the emergency hospital to inquire about the lieutenant's condition.
How is he doing, Doctor? You had to operate?
I had to remove the bullet. It was deeply embedded.
Imagine a man getting hit in the back with a bullet from his own machine gun.
I think you're mistaken, Sergeant. The bullet I just took out of his back came from a .32 revolver.
But where the .32 revolver came from, no one has ever been able to learn. The official record of the case of Lieutenant Morand was changed from accidental injury from his own weapon to injury, either accidental or intentional, from a weapon in hands of a person unknown. And to this day, the origin of that bullet remains a subject for speculation. A mystery, incredible but true.
Portions of the following program are transcribed. Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Are you Mr. Diamond?
Creditor or client?
I'm a client.
I'm a Diamond.
I'm Glad.
It's a little informal, but hello, Glad. Call me Rick.
Oh, no. My name is Julia Bates.
Mrs.?
Yes, but you don't have to call me Mrs. Bates. I'm a widow, you see.
Oh.
In fact, it may help our relationship if you call me Julia.
Oh, well, here we go again. All right, Julia, you can call me Rick. The fee's $100 a day in expenses.
I want you to stay at my house tonight.
I said $100 a day in expenses.
Oh, the fee is all right, Mr. Rick. Money means nothing.
Yeah, well, you think your way and I'll think mine.
I'll make out a check right now.
No hurry. Anytime in the next 10 seconds.
Hmm. Oh, there.
Thanks. Now, about this assignment.
Well, it may sound silly, but I'm afraid of the house I live in.
Oh, dandy.
I said it might sound silly,
mm-hmm.
but it's deadly serious, I assure you.
No, I'm sure it is.
You see, my husband, Warner Bates, died 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very strange man and believed devoutly in many forms of mysticism.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, he built this house as a monument to his beliefs and filled it with secret passages and rooms and steps that lead nowhere.
Why not move out?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest. It's because of the money.
Oh.
In his will, Warner stipulated I was to live in the house for a period of 3 months following his death. 3 months is up tomorrow. And it doesn't help that Warner is buried in the basement vault.
What's he doing, watching Benny's money?
Well, he had a crypt built in the cellar and a key, the only key to it, was placed in his coffin.
Hmm. What's supposed to happen tonight?
Well, let me tell you the whole story. A month ago, I began to hear the strangest things in the house at night, and I found food half eaten on the kitchen table.
Ever try setting traps?
Well, the worst shock came when I went to the cellar a few days ago. I found footprints in the dust, naked footprints, leading to and from the crypt.
Maybe he had to take a shower.
Oh, please let me finish. On his deathbed, Warner swore he'd visit me at the end of the third month, and if he could, take me with him back to the spirit world.
Oh. And tonight is the night.
Yes. Mm. Oh, at first, I didn't think it would get me, but... Oh, I'm scared. Really scared.
Yeah, well, now look, baby. Let's get off this mystic kick. Who inherits if you don't live up to your requirements?
Well, that's just it. No one. That is, no person. The money goes to charities and schools.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Anderson, the executor of the estate, says the will is foolproof, legal, and binding. Either I live in the house until noon tomorrow, or... forfeit the inheritance.
So what you wanted me to do is hang around tonight and see that hubby doesn't go deathwalking.
Yes, that's right. You don't have to be there till dark, but, oh, don't be any later than that. Say, 6 o'clock?
Excuse me. Diamond Detective Agency, freewheeling corpses. Ask the man who kills one.
Rick, when are you going to stop those awful slogans?
Oh, hello, Helen, baby. Got to call you back? Got a client.
Oh, all right. Is she pretty?
I don't know. I'm parked behind a curve.
What?
Oh, forget it. I'll call you back. Bye. Now, Julia, you better go on home. Where's your broom?
Broom? Do you think I look like a witch?
You don't look like one. More like the good fairy if she'd heard about men. Now, you fly on home, sweetheart, and I'll see you at 6.
Don't be late.
I'll be there with bones on. I tried to uncurl my toes and get my mind on business. Thinking of my spooked client didn't seem to help, but it was, business. It was getting pretty late in the afternoon, so I put the office to bed for the night, picked up a bite to eat, and went over to the 5th Precinct to keep a coffee date with Lieutenant Levinson. When I walked into the squad room, I spotted Sergeant Otis with his nose in a book. Now, well, hello, Otis. What's with the book? Don't tell me you're learning to read.
Hello, Shamus. How's tricks?
The book, Sergeant. What's the book?
A book? Or what book? Oh, Lieutenant's inside. He said for you to go right in when you came.
Otis, tell Uncle Richard about the book.
Oh, it's just a book. Here, I was trying to improve myself.
Well, don't feel ashamed, Otis. You've got reason to do that.
Yeah, very funny.
Let's see. The Art of Graceful Dancing. Otis.
Well, what's wrong with me dancing, Shamus? I don't want to be no social outcast.
Dancing? Well, maybe. But graceful? Otis, you couldn't be graceful even if your feet did match. Tell you what, though, I'll give you a hand. Now, just open your arms and pretend you have a dame. Go on, I'll start you on a waltz.
Well, okay.
Da da dee dee dum, sweet 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 sweet. Da da. Oh no! Otis, you look like an elephant with sprained ankles. Now try again and close your eyes. Ya da dum dee 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 dee.
Otis,
where's
the button? Otis, put me down.
What?
I'm sorry, Lieutenant. I thought you was a dame.
You what?
I mean, I had my eyes closed. I was dancing. Oh, Lieutenant, the shamus talked me into it.
Rick, would you mind telling me what you were doing?
Saving Arthur Murray ulcers.
Yeah, well, come on in and get some coffee. And Otis.
Yeah?
Shut up.
Shall I pour? Please do. You know how I like mine, Walt.
Yeah, no cream, 12 lumps.
Better change that.
I would think so. Okay, how many?
Make it 14. Your coffee's stronger than mine.
It's not so strong, Rick.
Here. Thanks. You better wipe that spot off the desk. The varnish is beginning to smoke.
Your jokes aren't any better. Going to stick around for the heart game tonight?
I can't, Walt. I've got a client with a house full of spirits.
What?
The dead kind.
With you on the job, there'll be corpses jumping out of every window.
Yeah. Well, if they start, I'll give you a call.
I know. Why don't you give up being a detective, Rick? Play postman or something.
Walt, you just don't seem to appreciate my favors. I'm getting late. It's nearly 6.
It's a peaceful night, Rick. See if you can't keep it that way.
Oh, sure, Walt, sure. This is one night you can take it easy. Give me 2 more lumps, please. Leaving Walt and heading for the Bates house, I was feeling as happy as a bird in a hat full of worms. I had $100 to stall off the landlord, a lovely red-headed girlfriend with curves, and a spook client with, trouble. Everything great. Then the storm began to blow up. It had started to rain when I saw the Bates house on Temple Street. A big, ugly house straight out of a horror story, with gables and shuttered windows. And as if that wasn't enough, I was met at the door by a butler who was a tiny thing, about 7 feet tall and 300 pounds, with a face like the devil with a hangover.
Come in.
I wanted to see
Mrs. Bates, of course. You are Mr. Diamond.
She left word with you?
I need no word. I am the seventh son.
Of a what?
The seventh son.
Of a... Oh, no, this could go on forever. Okay, lead on.
The name is Kane.
Yeah? How's your brother?
Well?
Forget it. Where's your, Mrs. Bates?
In the drawing room. This way, sir.
Cozy little mausoleum. What time do the ghosts come out?
Usually right after the vampires, sir.
Oh, dandy. I hope they have an early show.
Oh, it will be soon enough, sir. The dead are restless tonight.
Maybe if I rocked them to sleep. Got a rock?
Mrs. Bates. Mr. Diamond.
Oh, thank you, Kane. Hello, Rick. How do you like my house?
Oh, it's lovely. What do you use for doorknobs? Heads? And what's with the big zombie? You didn't mention him.
Kane? Oh, he's a fixture around here, but I get frightened more when he's around than when he's gone.
Well, now you take it easy, baby. Come on over and sit down and let me chase those fears away.
Oh, that is an idea.
Name me a better.
Can I fix you a drink?
Oh, I think I'll take a glass
of milk, sir. Here you are.
Oh, now, hey, look, Crusher, put a bell around your neck or something. One more surprise like that, and you'll be best man at the funeral.
My apologies. Your milk, sir.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Come on, Jojo, let's get back to where we were. And you, Kane, you... Hey, where'd he go?
Rick. Rick, there it is.
Huh? Yeah.
That's the way it starts. Listen. It's the stairs to the cellar. Someone's climbing them.
What? Oh, it's probably Kane.
You wanted me, sir?
Kane? Then who... You wait in here, Julia. I'll go out and get our nosy friends.
The cellar door is at the end of the hall.
I left Julia looking as nervous as a one-legged man walking a tightrope and took off down the long hall. There was only one door, the one to the cellar, so I opened it and flipped on the switch. I was moving my ankles down the creaking steps when I heard trouble. What the devil? Julia! Julia! Are you hurt? What is it?
Rick! Rick, over there in the closet! A dead man!
Oh, no. There's no dead man in here.
Not there. But I saw him, Rick. I swear there was a man in there. He was all bloody, and there was a big knife in his chest.
Oh, but you must have been mistaken.
About a corpse, Rick. He was there.
Oh, I don't see... Oh, wait a minute. You're on the floor, bloodstained.
You see, there was a man in there.
This is blood, all right. But where'd the body go? He couldn't have been moved that fast. Unless... Where's Kane?
Right here, Mr. Diamond. But I did not move the dead one.
No? Where were you just now when Julia screamed? Having tea with a vampire?
No, I was in the kitchen, sir. Do not be mystified, Mr. Diamond. Accept the fact that you are in a house controlled by the other world.
There's been a murder, Kane, and that brings it into this world.
Who are you calling?
A real-life cop who likes to know about dead bodies kicking around.
Lieutenant Levinson, homicide.
Walt, Rick.
Oh, no. I know that tone. Where's the body?
I wish I knew. Come on over to 209 East Temple Street.
Wait. What do you mean you wish you knew? Is there a body there?
Well, it's here someplace. Now, don't argue. Get over here.
Wait.
And hurry. Now, Kane, you can go back to the kitchen, but stay there. Don't roam around.
As you wish, sir.
And now, Julia, baby, we're going to do some investigating.
Investigating?
That's right. I got a big yen to see what's in that vault downstairs. And this time, I'm taking you with me.
But, Rick, it's locked.
I hope so, but I'm not making book.
You mean you think it may actually have been Warner come back from the dead? And kill that man, I mean?
Right now, I don't know what to think. I wouldn't be surprised to run into Dracula sitting on top of the Wolfman. Here's the basement. Hey, who turned out the light? I know I turned it on before. Yeah, that's better. Come on.
Oh, look at it. It's cold down here. Oh, hurry, Rick. I'm getting scared.
Yeah, I don't like the feel of it myself, but I want to check this vault.
See the footprints there in the dust?
I see them, but I don't believe them. Not yet. Yeah, I'll try the door of the vault.
Why, it's unlocked.
Yeah, look what's inside.
The coffin is empty.
It's empty, all right, and it's open.
Well, are you going inside?
No. I think I'll stay out here.
The light! Rick, who put out the light?
It wasn't Edison, baby. We got company.
Julia, I told you I'd come back for you.
Hey, what is this?
I am dead.
Oh.
You know who I am, don't you, Julia?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes, I know it's you, Warner.
I am coming for you tonight, Julia. I will appear at 9:00.
I'd better set my watch.
Be prepared to meet me, Julia, at 9:00.
No, Warner, no.
Take it easy, baby.
Rick, you down there?
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, Walt, turn on the lights.
Sure. They're on. Rick, what are you doing there? Oh, a block. I should have known. Well, do come upstairs and join me.
We're coming, Walt.
Now, what is this all about?
In a minute, Walt. Otis, help Mrs. Bates into the living room. She's pretty shaken up.
Sure, Shamus. Come on, lady.
Now, what is all this about, Rick?
Now, come on back downstairs with me, Walt, and get your gun out. Somewhere in this cellar is a dead man with a lousy sense of humor. Well, we searched the long cellar but good while I briefed Walt on the events of the evening. Neither was much of a success. Walt didn't believe me, and our ghost remained a ghost. As we went back up into the living room, I was at a point where I didn't believe the things myself. They couldn't have happened, but they had. Hey, Otis, where did Mrs. Bates go?
She went upstairs to pack, Shama. Said she was going to leave.
Leave? And give up her dough? Oh, for Pete's sake, she can't... Not just because of this ghost house.
Ghost house? Oh, this is the wackiest yet. Rick, if I didn't know you were so...
Walt, do I look like I'm happy about these things? I'm at a point where I'm believing in spooks and spirit worlds and dead men who talk from out of nowhere.
Yeah, so the Shamus is afraid of spooks. This I'm loving.
Otis.
I know, Lieutenant. Shut up.
Did I say that, Otis?
Well, no, Lieutenant. What do you want me to do?
Shut up.
Oh. Gee, I wish I had a glass of...
A glass of water, Sergeant.
Oh, come out from behind that chair, Otis. It's only Kane.
Who's he?
Well, didn't he let you in?
No, we found the door open. When we rang and no one answered, we came in.
Oh, did you? Hey, Kane, where were you? Didn't you hear the doorbell?
I knew the door was open, Mr. Diamond. And I was busy.
Like maybe playing ghost?
No, sir. Baking a cake.
Cake? Oh, swell.
I'm all packed. Will you take me to a hotel?
Now, but, Julia, look, you can't leave. Think of the money.
Money or no money, I'm getting out of here, Rick. That was Warner's voice, and I just don't have the nerve to stay.
Oh, but look, baby, you know there aren't any such things as ghosts.
Do I? You were in the cellar with me. You heard him. And did you find anybody down there afterwards?
Well, no,
but just a minute, Mrs. Bates. You saw a murdered man earlier this evening, didn't you?
You know I did, in that closet.
Yeah, well, until I find out who he is and who killed him, you don't leave this house.
But Warner...
I'm sorry, Julia. We'll protect you, but you can't leave.
Otis, take Mrs. Bates into the library and make her comfortable.
Hey, Yellowton, come on, Mrs. Bates.
Well...
Now, Rick, enough is enough. How could there have been a body in that closet one minute and not the next? Where did it go and why?
Well, how the devil should I know? She saw it, screamed, I ran back, opened the closet, and it was gone.
Oh, great.
Now, come on. I want a better look at that closet. Well, looks all right. Wonder how it sounds.
Use your gun butt on the walls.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, but where's the latch? There must be some way to open this section.
Try those hooks.
Yeah. No, not them. Maybe this rack.
What? Secret room, just like in the movies. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, we found the corpse, Walt. And how he disappeared so fast.
Oh, some mess. Blood all over him.
Walt, hey, this is no corpse.
What? Oh, now, don't start that.
No? Well, look at it closer, Walt. It's a dummy.
Well, it is. A wax dummy with blood smeared on it.
No wonder I wasn't meant to see it.
Oh, this is it. I'm getting out of this crazy house. Corpses that talk, corpses that aren't corpses. I've had enough. This is just plain ridiculous.
Now, wait, Walt. Someone planted this dummy, and someone is trying to scare Mrs. Bates out of this house. That same someone is in this house right now, and if he isn't stopped, it may mean her murder. How are you feeling, Julia?
I'm exhausted, Rick, but I...
We found the body, Julia. It was a dummy.
A dummy? Well, then there wasn't any murdered man?
No, this whole thing is a bluff, even that voice in the cellar.
Oh, no, that couldn't be. That was Warner's voice, Rick. I know it was. And he's not in his coffin.
I know, baby, and I think that's all phony, too. Now, tell me, who knew of that only key in the coffin business?
Well, just myself. And Mr. Anderson.
Anderson?
Oh, that's right. You remember, he was Warner's lawyer.
Oh, yeah. How about Kane? Did he know of the key?
Well, I don't know, Rick. He may have. Warner confided in him a great deal.
Rick, this isn't getting us any place. Come with me. Otis, you stay with Mrs. Bates.
Yellowton.
All right, Walt. What are we going to do, grill the dummy?
Go ahead. Be funny. But I want to search this whole house.
Oh, Walt, this place is a nut house full of secret rooms and hocus pocus. It'd take two maps and a Ouija board to get around in it.
Well, I'm going to get around in it, and up these stairs is as good a place as any to start.
Hello, Walt.
Oh, stairs that lead to a blank wall. Rick, that's too much.
Now, would you stop playing games?
Playing games, he says. Oh, where is my bicarbonate?
Here you are, Lieutenant.
Ah.
Sorry to be late.
Where's the thunder, Kane? You missed your cue.
Will there be anything else, sir?
I don't see how, sir. Not unless Frankenstein drops in for a game of jacks.
I doubt if he will. Tonight it's at his house, so I'll be on hand if you need anything.
We won't. Go on back to your embalming. Come on, Walt. You feeling okay?
Oh, I'll never feel okay again. Rick, I've stood for your getting me mixed up in some crazy cases, but this night I'll never forget.
Oh, don't quit on me now, Walt. We still have to find that spook and keep Julia from being killed.
How? Please, tell me how.
Look, he said he was going to appear at 9 o'clock tonight to take her to the spirit world with him.
Yeah, well, I'll get a squad down here to see that he doesn't.
No, no, Walt, wait. He'll never show up if we're all hanging around, right?
Well, yeah.
And the only way we can catch the ghost is for him to show up, right?
Yeah, go on. So what do we do?
So we pretend to leave, make a big fuss about giving the whole thing up. Then we sneak back in and hide. We wait and see if he shows up, and when he said he would, and if he does, we nab him. Case closed.
Well, it sounds screwy, but to wind this case up, I'll buy anything. Where do we hide?
We'll get Julia to wait in the living room. We'll sneak back and hide in that secret room behind the closet. If the ghost shows, we can grab him as soon as he gives himself away. And I think he'll show. After getting Julia to agree to the idea, Walt Otis and I made a big thing about leaving the house. Then we sneaked back in and hid in the secret room back of the living room closet. The closet door was open enough so we could see Julia pretending to read on the couch. And for the next few centuries, we waited. Waited for a dead man to keep a date.
What time is it, Rick?
It's 9:02. If he's going to show, it won't be long.
Hey, you think a dead man really can come back to life?
If you don't shut up, Otis, I'll give you a personal chance to try.
Oh, I wish he'd hurry.
Yeah. Well, it's just time now. I hope Julia plays her part okay. She looks pretty nervous.
No, why would she be nervous? She's only waiting for a dead man.
A phony dead man, Walt, I hope.
Now, don't you start believing in ghosts. You know there aren't any such things. Rick, the lights went out.
Shh, listen.
I told you I would come for you, Julia. It is 9:00.
Oh, Warner, please don't take me. I don't want to die.
Rick, that's him.
Shh, wait a minute, Walt.
I am the dead, Julia. I am your husband.
Yes, I know you, Warner.
You must leave this house, Julia.
No.
Come on, Walt. Right. And Otis, be quiet.
Oh, I will. I know enough not to make any noise.
What was that?
Rick, hurry!
Come on, let's grab him.
We all took off after the ghost. It led us on the screwiest chase yet, in and out of the secret passages, upstairs, and then back downstairs again. Trying to lay hands on him was like trying to swat a fly with a piece of string. He finally made a break for the outside door. Then, not to be outdone, I made like a big athlete.
Hey, that was a pretty nifty tackle, Diamond.
Rick, you okay?
Yeah, as soon as I get this hood off, I'm going to have a few words with this spook.
There. He's out cold.
Otis, bring Mrs. Bates in here.
Oh. Okay.
Come on, you. Wake up.
Who is he?
I don't know. Come on, wake up. Before I make a real ghost out of you.
Okay, don't hit me anymore, please.
Here she is, Lieutenant.
Mrs. Bates, do you know who this man is?
Why, it's Warner's lawyer, Mr. Anderson, the executor of the estate.
Sure, baby, had to be. All right, Buster, what's the story?
All right. It was the money. If I could get Julia to break the will, I had a dummy charity set up so I could get the estate.
He's all yours, Walt. Wrap him up. It'll be a pleasure. Otis, put the cuffs on him. Take him out of here.
Yeah, Lieutenant. Come on, Spooky.
Well, that takes care of that. Hey, what about Kane? He must have known about all this.
Of course I knew, Lieutenant. But I did not wish to intrude. Those who interfere with the dead pay their own penalty.
Lose their haunting license?
Nothing. Oh, sir, my cake is done. Would you like some? It's devil's food.
No, thanks. I'll skip it.
With nuts?
Julia, walk me to the door.
Well, of course, Rick.
I'll leave you with Kane, Walt. Tell him a ghost story. Feeling all right, baby?
Oh, yes. Much better. I'm fine now that I know there's nothing to be afraid of. Tomorrow I'll be moving into an apartment. Will you come and see me? We have things to talk over.
Like what, honey?
Like sharing a mood. You know, just the two of us.
Thank you.
With that, she reached up and showed me what she meant with a big smoochie. Oh, I'd have probably stuck around, but I was afraid the house would be too disturbing. I wouldn't have minded having to get up to chase the bats out of the room, but with Kane showing up every time I wanted something, well, that could have led to complications. So I left Walt and Otis to clean things up, bid a not too fond farewell to Kane, and went from the House of Horror to the one that was full of Redhead and the piano. The Redhead was wearing a red dress with a new, you know what I mean.
Well, didn't think you were going to make it.
I had a tough case tonight, honey. Thought I might not get away at all.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet you did.
Why, Helen, baby, all of a sudden you sound suspicious.
Without any effort, darling. Especially when it comes to blondes.
Blondes? You mean girls?
Girls. Blonde girls with hair like this on your lapel.
Oh.
And the lipstick on your cheek and the look in your eyes.
Oh, you know how it is, honey. Brilliant detective saves client's life and fortune. She had to be grateful.
Brilliant detective. Just keep on making me so jealous of you, and one of these days the world is going to lose a brilliant detective.
No. Someone gonna rub out Sam Spade?
Oh, what's the use?
Oh, now, baby, don't be mad. Come on, let's next.
No. I'm upset and I'm unhappy.
If I sing, will you be happy again?
I don't know.
Well, I'll try. I'll sing my rude old head off.
I need your love so badly. I love you oh so madly. But I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. I thought at last I'd found you, but other loves surround you, and I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you.
Are you listening?
If you'll surrender just for a tender kiss or two, you might discover that I'm the lover meant for you, and I'd be true. But what's the good of scheming? I know I must be dreaming, but I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you.
You sang nice.
Do we, Nick?
No. No, it's still early enough to catch a late show.
Well, if I take you to the show?
Yes.
Okay. What's the show you want to see?
Oh, it's a wonderful horror picture full of spooks. The Ghost Talks.
Oh, no, no, no.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Joan Banks, Paul Frees, and Robert Clark. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Portions were transcribed. Tonight's story was written by Herb Purdom and edited and directed by Blake Edwards. Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Tal Avery, inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. What's on NBC tomorrow? There's great comedy in store for you on the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show when Phil and Frankie go shopping for Alice's Christmas present. And there's excellent drama on Theater Guild on the air. Tomorrow, Richard Conte, Diana Lynn, and Shirley Booth will be starred in the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Street Scene, on Theater Guild on the air.
That's going to do it for today's episode. There's more old-time radio every day at relicradio.com. If you want to find out more about our Halloween October programming, got a special website, relicradio.com/Halloween. We'll have a little explanation of what we're going to be doing, as well as some links to some past episodes of the Vintage Horror Radio Show and others that haven't been updated yet. But I'll try to have something new up there every week, including what we're doing normally with the podcasts. So that's that, relicradio.com/Halloween. Relicradio.com still has links to everything else we have going on, including our forum, our listener community, Shoutcast stream, and everything else you can find linked to there. If you'd like to email me, the email address is relicradio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next Tuesday with more Lucille Fletcher on another Relic Radio show.